Hi, this is William Cassotis, CEO of Lazy River Products, Massachusetts' premier fully integrated cannabis retailer and manufacturer in Dracut. Easily accessible off of Route 93, 495, and Route 3. We carry only the highest quality cannabis products available today, from the perfect flower to the tastiest edibles, vapes, and other cannabis concentrates. Lazy River Products has it all. Whether you be a seasoned cannabis connoisseur or someone who is just coming back into the market, our knowledgeable staff will help find the right product for you. True craft quality cannabis has finally arrived in Massachusetts. Visit LazyRiverProducts.com, and as always, our pricing includes the tax.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit-forming. For use only by adults 21 years of age or older. Keep out of reach of children. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It's against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact the Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts. Massachusetts State License Number MR282562.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, the show you'll be talking about in therapy.
That wasn't me.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
To be honest, sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan, but, you know, in terms of, you know, what goes into it and in the snap count and all that stuff. But that is what it is. And, you know, the past 3 weeks have been a challenge for sure. But, you know, it's easy making plays for me. It's just it's tougher to to kind of be idle while that goes on. But at the end of the day, it's like this is a great opportunity. It's a new week, and just to be able to go out there and practice with my teammates and try to to do what I can to help us win. I'm excited for it. I really am.
Whoops! So he's not going to get the chance. That's Chase Winovich. That was one of my favorite comments in the last couple of years. Sometimes I don't really understand the game plan as he's sitting there on the bench. But in case you haven't heard, the Patriots have traded Chase Winovich. I know it's not the biggest news out there as it relates to the NFL, but to me it's a very telling piece of news. And to me it represents a lot of the bad decision-making down there in Foxborough the last couple of years. So that's where I want to start. It is a big boy Tuesday here in the middle of free agency. Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal joins us from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Big Jim Murray alongside as well. And Adam Jones in our update studio.
There's quite a group.
Yeah, it's the axis of evil. Patriots fans, you have one hope. And he's sitting to my left here in Greg Bedard. But let's start with the Chase Winovich trade. Greg, what's your takeaway from that?
Oh, my God. What a colossal waste of a third-round pick Chase Winovich was. You know, you can't have it both ways. Like, you could say, well, you know, I've heard from some fans, because they didn't like my reaction to it, that they're like, well, he just couldn't set the edge. Then why'd you draft him? So you drafted a situational pass rusher, in the third round, wherever he went, and either that, well, maybe you didn't develop him. That's Steve Belichick's round. Chase Winovich, Josh Uche, now Ronnie Perkins. Are they getting developed there? He was a colossal waste of a pick. He averaged like 2,000 words to every play that he made for this team. And look, the thing is I like the linebacker that they got for him. His name's Mac. What's his name? Wilson.
Mac Wilson
from Alabama. I like him. I think he has a chance to be a player. He has a chance to be a starter here. I liked him coming out. The book on him coming out was. And I think Bob McGinn reported on a lot of this at the time, that he kind of ticked off people at Alabama because he left early. And he ended up being a fifth-round pick, I think it was.
Yes.
And the Alabama people were saying, no, stay in school. You'll be a higher draft pick later on. And he ticked off some people at Alabama leaving. He went late in the draft.
Okay, but on Winovich, please.
Yes.
Let's just focus on that for a second. I agree, a waste of a pick, which is one thing. They've wasted a lot of picks, and teams waste picks. I just want to know, at what point did they think he was a fit? Because
it felt like it wasn't very early.
Well, but no. In the scouting process, mm-hmm. What made you think, Patriots, that he was going to work here? A guy that doesn't set the edge.
Right, undersized.
Doesn't defend the run. Has a big mouth. and doesn't know when to stop and is kind of an outsized personality from his skill set.
Nice hair, though.
So it's like, and you know, that to Bill's credit, he doesn't hold stupid haircuts against guys. So like that, and I mean that seriously. He's not like some military drill sergeant with like, get a buzz cut. So he doesn't care if he got, you know, long, stupid hair. He doesn't care. So like, it's not the hair thing, but it is the personality thing. Is Chase Winovich a Patriot kind of player? Is he a Patriot kind of player? You know, keep your mouth shut, do your job. Is that Chase Winovich? He's the exact opposite of that. And it's one thing you can handle if the guy's like a star player. Then you fit in any personality you can. Rob Gronkowski isn't a typical Patriots kind of player, but they made it work because he could play. So which box did Chase Winovich check? Why did they bring this guy in the first place? This is what I'm talking about. At what point did Bill Belichick look and say, that's a guy that's going to work in my system? He doesn't work in that system on the field or off. And he's not that undersized. He's listed at 250, which is, you know, what it's supposed to be. But as an edge guy, is he only 6'1"? So I think he's a little on the short side.
A little taller than that, but yeah, a little undersized.
So a little undersized from some of the other guys they've had there. But the size isn't the biggest mismatch or the biggest misfit. It's he doesn't defend the run, doesn't set the edge, and he's got a big mouth. So why'd you draft him? That's the last kind of guy you want here.
Well, especially in that draft. Remember, I think Albert Breer was reporting around the time, or at least when it was apparent, like Jawan Williams, who went the round before him, that Belichick had fallen into, well, I'm going to get guys that can serve a specific role. Like Jawan Williams, he's there to defend taller receivers, maybe tight ends. We're just going to take him there because he could do that. Chase Winovich can be a sub rusher. But Belichick stopped asking, is this guy a player? Is he a good football player? Instead of just specialty roles and all those guys, that was a tough draft. N'Keal Harry went in the first round, then Jawan Williams, then Chase Winovich. Yes, they got Damian Harris. They got Byron Cowart's okay. Jake Bailey in that draft. But another draft where now you're looking at it and be like, what was the point of that whole draft?
That draft smelled.
We're now far away enough from it that we can look back at that draft in 2019 and say it's mostly a disaster.
Disaster! That draft's a disaster.
Harris is good. Bailey's now an overpaid punter.
I just don't include running backs on it. I like, okay, neat. You got a running back in the third round.
Everybody does that.
Everybody does that. Like, big deal. And Damian Harris's shelf life here is about one or two more years tops. Mm-hmm. And then you'll draft the next guy. That's that position. I don't include running backs. Unless you draft one high, like if you're stupid, like the Giants and Saquon Barkley. Like I even take it out of my analysis, running backs. You know, that draft is a freaking disaster. But I look at Chase Winovich. I say, that is just, he doesn't do what you want. He doesn't set the edge. He doesn't defend the run. He doesn't keep his mouth shut. He causes more ripples for what he sort of is as a personality than he is as a football player, the exact opposite of what you're looking for. So what prompted you to draft this guy? And what is the deal, Greg, with all these Michigan players? Him, Uche, Jennings, I think Owenu, you know, he's on the offensive line, but is there a lacrosse player on the defensive staff there at Michigan, or you know, someone's nephew? Like, what is up with all these Michigan?
Well, there was
defensive players.
You know, there's Harbaugh, and then there's, you know, Jed Fish was there, came here. Now he's the head coach of Arizona, but you know, he came to the Patriots. He had come from Michigan.
Okay,
so, and Don Brown's local. He was the D coordinator there. Yep. So right, I mean, I think your point, Felger, is are they even scouting these guys?
Or it's just more word of mouth.
Yeah. Or is Bill just going to his buddy, whether it's Don Brown or Jed Fish or whoever? Is he just going, can these guys fit? And they go, yeah. And he goes, all right, I'll take them.
Chase went, like, talk about the anti-Patriot. You're going to draft Spicoli to play on your defense where you demand guys to take on blocks and defend the run and set the edge and do your job and keep your mouth shut.
Sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan.
And this is a guy you draft, like, it never made sense. It's like, what, you know, if the guy can play, if he's Rob Gronkowski, then that, okay.
You can deal with the goofy personality.
Then you check the other side and you manage the other side to get the talent. All right, then there's the trade-off. Where was this kid? So, like, I've always thought he was a case study for them losing their way in their analysis and their evaluation process. And it's just another thing here, Greg, where I hardly like a single thing they've done this entire offseason. Maybe today they've given me one little thing. I don't mind James White coming back. I think that's a nice piece. I don't care about the culture part of it with him. I care about how he can help the offense and help Mac Jones. So I'm okay with James White coming back. That might be the only thing I like that they've done this entire offseason. Tell me why I or Patriots fans shouldn't be really concerned and or annoyed with what they've done so far.
Well, here's what I would say. I would say it's not over yet. That if, say, the Patriots were to add a big piece at receiver, I think people would be moderately happy with what's going on. I mean, look, Mac Wilson is a starting caliber linebacker who can run a little
bit. Even though he couldn't start in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, he was in a situation with the, you know, they drafted a safety / linebacker hybrid, so he went to the bench. And yeah, but, you know, your point is taken. But the thing is like, it's not, I'm not ready to indict them yet because it's not over yet. If they signed Allen Robinson tomorrow, which I doubt, but it's possible, or they trade for a receiver like a Robbie Anderson or somebody like that, then I feel better about the offseason. But there's no question to this point and how it looks like it's going, it hasn't been good.
Jones, should we indict them now?
Yes.
Yeah.
What else are we doing?
Yeah,
like the whole league is signing people. What are you doing? Just bringing back all the old breaking down decrepit veterans and buddies of your kid, James Ferentz, and guys who played for Nick Saban at Alabama. That's all Bill's done so far. So if he does something like Allen Robinson, I'll give him credit. But I'm not going to give him credit until he does it. He hasn't done anything. They haven't improved at all. They've gotten worse.
Greg, is there a name that's gone off the board you're surprised that they didn't end up getting, like Braxton Berrios?
Yes. And that tells me that they're not spending, that they're not interested in spending this free agency period. And also, I think they are back into the realm of, we lost free agent. Last year, we spent our wad, so to speak. But this year, we're going to sit it out and we're going to account for our comp picks. So J.C. Jackson left for big money, and to get that third round pick back,
it's a fourth. I'm sick when I hate when people say I'm done with it.
Yeah, okay.
It's a fourth.
Yeah. Next sandwich pick. Yep.
Well,
next
sandwiches is after everyone's picked in the third round, then come the comp picks. Would you call that a third round pick?
No.
If you're picking after the 32nd pick in the third round, I would call that a fourth round pick. Call it a sandwich pick, but it's not a third round pick. Sorry, keep going.
So
hold on. That's
but I think they're looking to protect their comp picks now,
okay,
where they weren't in the past.
So there it is. Well, I'd say,
but that
I mean, those are really good fourth round picks.
Season ticket renewals available now, folks.
But
this offseason, they will preserve their fourth round picks.
But you operate in the realm of trades and street free agents, which there are more coming. I mean, you know, a cornerback, you get, you know, a Janoris Jenkins, or, you know, you get Miles Jack from the Jaguars.
If they do this all, if that happens, if and when that happens, we'll burn that bridge when we get to it. As to this point, what a big freaking dud. Your thoughts, 617-779-0985.
It's just like eating an elephant. I'd say one bite at a time.
Hoops are happening, and college basketball's biggest stage is right around the corner. On PropSwap, every season, PropSwappers make thousands of dollars by simply buying and selling college basketball teams. Now is the time to find those Cinderellas while the odds are high. So head to the PropSwap app and be sure to buy a handful of tickets, because only one team needs to make a run, and that ticket will pay for the rest. Dark horses happen every year, so download the free PropSwap app today.
The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
Back in your face, suck it!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Are you aware of Greg Bedard's report in the last couple of days about you and your status with the team?
I mean, that was kind of, yeah, I'm aware of that. That was a little, I wasn't going to bring it up, but I mean, that's a little confusing. Yeah.
So we're here for
First off, I don't even know who, Greg Bedard is, and secondly, I don't really... Yes. I'm not exactly sure why he's slandering my name in that sense and making it seem like, I'm a problem, or, you know, I really was a little confused. He doesn't even quote anonymous people. He just speculates on rumors and stuff he's heard. It just doesn't make sense. And I think it's a little unfair, but, you know, people are allowed to have their own opinions, and that's part of the whole, you know, control what you can control. I try to operate every single day from the mindset, you know, I'm going to be the best teammate I can be, the best human I can be, and treat the game and, you know, just everything around me with respect. So I don't know who's making
you know, saying these things to him, or if he even has a real informant, or if he's just making it up. But I think it's pretty cheap journalism.
Yeah, that's Chase Winovich going after our guy here, the big boy, Greg Bedard.
Bruh, it's fake news.
That was way off, bro.
What was he responding to, and what do we got in the final analysis?
I'm trying to remember. It was basically something along the lines of he really has no future here, that the coaching staff has no faith in him, and that he caused some issues with the coaching staff the previous year, so 2020. With his mouth. He was running his mouth nonstop. He's, you know, mugging for cameras. And all that stuff did not go over well with the coaching staff. And he should have been traded a year ago. Again, another guy where I'm like, what is the point of this guy? Alandon Roberts, Daron Harmon, now Chase Winovich. Like, why are the Patriots a year late? It's apparent to, I'm an idiot, and it's apparent to me that these guys have no place here. And instead, Chase Winovich stays, blocks Josh Uche, blocks Ronnie Perkins. Like, get rid of some of these guys. If you don't see a role for them going into their third freaking year here, get rid of them, clear the way, let somebody else play.
And it's the antithesis of how they used to do business, right? Because it used to be get rid of a guy early rather than a year late. Now it's, we'll kick him, have him kick around until we decide.
They're late on everything.
So, I mean, to me, it's twofold. Like, he just wasn't a fit from the start. And it's not just because of his outsized personality. They can handle that if you can play. But if you can't play, or, you know, you're not a top-line player, you do have to toe the line. They have no patience for the marginal player who, you know, runs his mouth. So there's no appetite for that here in New England. You know, they're not going to. So anyway, he doesn't fit the scheme necessarily, and he doesn't fit him from a culture standpoint. So why'd they draft him in the first place? And then, but that being said, Greg, there is another piece to this, which is you draft these guys and then you don't really play them. I mean, how many games did Winovich start his entire career here? Like nine. He started nine in 2020 and that was it. Started no games last year. And, you know, you just mentioned Jennings, Uche, these guys don't get on the field. So do they not do a good job either of throwing those guys out there and seeing what they got?
Yeah, that's been one of my biggest complaints here lately with the Patriots. Is this, and this free agency is not making me think it's going to be any different when they bring, you know, outside of the trade, they bring back, what, five or six 30-somethings on this team? And my thing has been like, look, you draft these guys, you identify them, you bring them in. You have to let them sink or swim at some point. You can't protect them. You can't be afraid, oh, well, Chase Winovich is going to blow the edge. You know what? I saw Matt Judon blow a ton of edges this year, especially down the stretch. I didn't see him going to the bench. You know why? Let them play a little bit. Give them some time. You know when Jennings will be back this year, you know, he was hurt last year. Josh Uche, opposite Matthew Judon, Josh Uche should play. Don't bring in some old guy to protect yourself. Just let him play. But Bill won't do that. He will bring in an older edge guy because he's scared to death because he can't predict what they're going to do. And it's killing this team because, you know, you're not developing these guys. And plus, you're not showcasing any of them where you might get something back in a trade because you never let them see the field.
Okay, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, doing a two-hour stint here. Before I go to the phones, quickly, your thoughts on how the J.C. Jackson thing played out.
Hated it. Hated all. Look, by his contract, okay, so he basically, it's basically a two-year deal, $20 million per. That's what the guarantee is. And look, if that's his market, if that's what he got, and his average is what, 16.5? Then why didn't the Patriots tag him for 1 year? You know, you have a good cornerback for 1 year. He's got to play hard to get the contract. It buys you time because you didn't plan for this again. And so you at least have the semblance of a man cornerback in your secondary. And so I would have tagged him. I would have made the room. I would have guaranteed whatever. Judon, Hunter Henry, do a couple other moves. I just don't think they wanted to go through the effort of changing those contracts. But I would have tagged J.C. Jackson, I would have had him here, then I would have put him up for auction. You want him? Okay, make us an offer. And that franchise tag would have precluded people. They would have been like, all right, that's the starting point. That's what the Chargers got him for. The Chargers signed him for less than what you would have tagged him for. I'm sure you could have gotten a second round pick this year for him. So either way, the Patriots lost on this.
So wait a minute. You just said like you don't think that they want to rework contracts, so they're just too lazy to do paperwork for all intents and purposes?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that Patriots normally, they don't redo contracts and outlay future cap and stuff like that unless they absolutely had to. And if the situation presents itself, say Allen Robinson's price tag drops and they have a chance to add him at $14 million a year, they'll go and do those contracts for that. But that was the thing. Do the contracts for J.C. Jackson. If you end up trading him, then you already have that cap space and you can use it to swoop in and get some guys.
It's not a time and effort thing, Murray. It's just a simple restructure. Everyone does it all the time. It's, do you want to guarantee the money? Do you want to guarantee the money? It's simple as that. Do you want to guarantee the money? Do you want to restructure where you give more up front versus over 17 weeks or, you know, whatever the case may be? And even just guaranteeing the salary, I still think it comes in 17 installments. I mean,
yeah.
So it's just simply that. But I think what it really is that they want to act like they're up against a cap because they don't want to spend real money. This is, I promise I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole because I do it all the time. But the salary cap is it's a front. They want to act like they're up against the cap. And what do you want us to do? We can't spend any money because of the cap. It's an excuse. It's an ownership excuse.
Right. Meanwhile, the Packers are restructuring everybody and paying Rodgers and Devontae Adams. And the Saints are still in on Watson. And guys, the Cowboys are keeping people.
Anyone who chooses to pay attention to it just a little bit and think just a little bit critically can see it. It's obvious. It's simple. If you want the room to sign a guy, you can get it. If you don't want to spend real money, then you act like you're up against a cap. What are we going to do? We're up against a cap. We don't want to spread out cap hits. We don't want to go in cap jail. And you use that excuse. And that's what the Patriots are doing this offseason. They're using that excuse. So, all right. Your thoughts. We'll make some phones here with Greg Bedard. Here's Matt in Taunton. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I was just wondering, what are the odds this Wilson trade was to replace Johnson since he took some snaps at Bama as a fullback?
The linebacker play him at fullback? Okay, I don't want to talk about that. Is this linebacker they traded for inside or outside, on the line or off? How does he play? What's his role?
He's inside. He didn't time well coming out, but he's okay in coverage. I would say he's an upgrade on Juwan Bentley at this point, who's a free agent for the Patriots. But I think he's an upgrade. But look, the Browns didn't like him very much. This is basically a trade for each other's trash.
Okay,
that's what you get.
He came out at 233. He's listed now at 240. Is that a little light to play in the middle of the Patriots defense? Or is the Patriots defense going to try and get a little quicker at the expense of being a little bigger?
That's the rumor. That's what they were telling people at the combine. That they are, you know, even with some of their own free agents and wanting to come back, they're like, yeah, we'll kind of see, but we're looking to get faster and quicker.
Yeah, no better way to get faster and quicker than bring back every 35-year-old on the roster. That's how you get fast and fly around.
On the defense.
They haven't brought back Hightower yet, so I think that's what he's referring to. So I don't know if this Mac Wilson's better than Dont'a Hightower, but he's smaller and quicker. And he doesn't play the exact same position, but if that's what, you know, I'll trust that that's what was being said at the combine. Here's Nate in the truck. Go ahead, Nate.
What's going on, guys? Hey, real quick, Greg Bedard, you're not going to go ahead and bench Matt Judon because when you're paying him $14 million.
Nate, you got to speak up. Exactly. We can't hear you, Nate. Yeah. Speak up.
I said they're not going to bench Matt Judon at $14 million like they would Chase Renovich.
Exactly.
And then the other thing, they're just like N'Keal Harry, right, the first-round pick, doesn't want to show that Bill actually failed, and he failed on that draft. And all these other drafts that he actually fell apart. That's the reason why.
Okay, did they hang on? Your phone's not good enough. Did they hang on to Chase Winovich because Bill didn't want to admit a draft mistake? I don't believe that. I think he's done that plenty over the years, but I don't know. Maybe that's changing because he did. He hung on to Harry. He hung on to Winovich. I don't know. You tell me.
I think that he just left himself depth options. That's what he did. And I thought it was way too much overkill. You know, Ronnie Perkins is a guy who they drafted who, you know, could give you that depth. But again, they don't trust a young guy. And so they had Winovich, Uche, and Perkins all in line on the edge, and they end up playing like Kyle Van Noy, who they let go this year.
James in Belmont, go.
This is James in Belmont. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to get your thoughts on this whole Patriots situation, their lack of offseason moves, their lack of roster building, their lack of success in the draft, their lack of money spending. If the Patriots have a losing season this year, do you think Bill Belichick's on the hot seat next year?
So, I mean, yes. Okay. Can I answer that question like that? Yes. I don't want to talk about that right this second. what I do want to talk about is last year they had a good draft and they spent and they weren't aggressive to get back on the map, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like they're building off of that, Greg. I don't feel like they're taking that step and then taking the next step the next year. And I could ask why, but I don't know. We're never going to find out. I guess I would be frustrated if I were a Patriots fan that they're not building off of last year.
I understand. Look, like we said, things could change tomorrow. They could change later today, but we're doing sports talk radio, so we're dealing with today.
Thank you.
But you know, the big thing, and
you're learning.
I wrote a column about this the other day. Is that, look, when you have an off season like the Patriots had, and you know, they did have a good draft. I thought they did well. Not everybody worked out in year one, but I thought they did well with how they spent their money, and I thought they did get better. When you embark on an off season like that, as a front office, at least one with like the Patriots, if it's Washington, it'd be something different. But you have to at least give it 2 years. And they constructed a lot of those contracts where, you know, like Aguilar and I think Hunter Henry, they're all, you know, 2 year deals, that sort of thing. You have to give it 2 years. You know, everyone wants to rip Nelson Aguilar for last year and say, oh, well, they need to get a number one. They have to get something better. Well, how do you know that Nelson Aguilar's struggle and lack of production last year had more to do with what was around him? A rookie quarterback, an offensive line that couldn't block for half the year. You know, all the other sort of variables that went on with that. And, you know, all those guys being year one in the offense. Second year, they should be better. So why not, if you're the Patriots and you believed in Aguilar, you believed in Jonnu Smith, you believed in all those guys, why not run it back for another year and you say, all right, just by staying together for a second year, they will be better.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I'd bring all those guys back and see if something clicks in your two. Not a problem. Why can't you add to it? You know, like, that's what I don't get. That's fine. Bring those guys back. Give it a 2 year maturation date. No problem. Continue to get better. Add.
Get right, well, what if receiver. They did? Yeah. What if they did this? What if they signed Za'Darius Smith to replace Kyle Van Noy?
Yeah,
upgrade, probably cheap. Robbie Anderson, add him to the mix. I think he's really good. Some people are like, oh, I want Valdez Scantling. Robbie Anderson is way better than MVS. What if they get Akeem Hicks on the inside to help out there? What if they bring in A.J. Bouye to be a cornerback? He's not J.C. Jackson.
You're giving me a lot of what-ifs there, big fella.
I know, but I'm just saying. Like, I'm looking at cheaper free agency and trade options that if they end up doing it, they're augmenting what they did last year, and now all of a sudden people are like, all right, Belichick's back.
I got it.
That sort of thing.
When that happens, we'll go there.
Exactly.
In the meantime, they get ripped.
When is that
happening? Trying to be a little bit optimistic with this group.
Big mistake.
I know.
Here comes the very latest around the world of sports and the NFL. The guys' bodies are still flying off the shelf. Here's the very latest with Adam Jones, and we'll do three up and three down across the league and free agency with the big boy right after this.
This Sports Hub On-Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Miller Lite is celebrating the 75th anniversary of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics with a limited edition commemorative 18-pack, now available at participating stores. So pick up the 75th anniversary 18-pack today and raise the original light beer to Boston Celtics basketball. Miller Lite. It's game time. It's Miller time. What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw.
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. And they're the Cannons. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, we'll do this with the big boy and Adam Jones and Big Jim Murray. Your three favorite moves across the league so far in free agency. Your three least favorite moves. You can do Patriot moves. You can do other teams. You can do trades. You can do whatever you want. All right, and we'll do them all at once. Greg, give me three moves that you liked either here or across the league.
Well, I just love what the Chargers have done in general. I mean, you know, with J.C. Jackson and, you know, they picked up a defensive lineman and, you know, they got an edge rusher. I just love what the Chargers have done. They are... You talk about improving in the course of one offseason. they've done in spades. Last year, they did the offensive line. They drafted Slater in the first round. Their defense was not any good. They couldn't stop the run. All of a sudden, they beefed up. They have something going on there with the Chargers. They're a good team now.
Give me something or a list of things you like there, Murray.
Russell Wilson to the Denver Broncos. It feels like they're a team that was just a quarterback away. Really good defense. They get that quarterback, who I think still happens to be one of the top five in the league. Immediately makes him a real contender.
Jones, you want to play?
Yeah, I mean, look, those are the three biggest moves. Wilson, J.C. Jackson, Khalil Mack. They gave up nothing for Mack. They got to pay him, but they gave up nothing for him. Same thing with Jackson, who Patriots fans, I think it's odd they don't miss him more. Like, that's a borderline, if not elite, corner, a high-end corner. You have a gaping hole there. I can't believe fans aren't more ticked off about that. And then Russell Wilson goes without saying. It's the singular biggest move of the offseason, and it leapfrogs Denver past the Patriots. So that would be the top move for me.
Did Denver also just sign Gregory?
Yes.
Yeah, from Dallas?
That means they're probably out on Von Miller, but yes.
You know, interestingly, but I don't know. Let's wait to see how that plays out. I mean, I've seen the Broncos do this before with DeMarcus Ware on one side and Von Miller on the other. I don't know if I'd rule that out.
Has he also had weed issues?
Well, he's on my list.
Okay, well, go ahead. What don't you like there, Greg?
Well, I don't like Randy Gregory. He's not reliable. The guy's been, you know, in and out of, you know, he's had some emotional issues. Now he just flaked on the Cowboys. Like, the Cowboys know him better than anybody and put in some contract triggers to make sure that, you know, to protect themselves. And he freaked out and went to Denver. Like, good luck, Denver. Like, I think they're taking a humongous risk on Randy Gregory. That's on my down list.
Where there's weed everywhere. I'll give you my three worst real quick. It's Wentz to the Commanders for way too much in terms of draft picks and money. Christian Kirk to Jacksonville, 4 years, $84 million. That's money that, like, prime Edelman should get. And Trubisky to the Steelers for 2 years. Yes, upgrade from Roethlisberger, but he's not the answer.
I mean, to me, I agree with you on Kirk. I like Christian Kirk, but that's a lot of money. I kind of forgot about Wentz, to be honest. That's a good one.
Great one.
Zay Jones to the Jaguars. That's an awful contract for like a terrible bum fourth receiver. And then number one for me, Matthew Slater. Not a lot of money. Not a ton. But on a per snap basis, that guy's paid through the nose. It's ridiculous. He covers kicks that are touchbacks. He covers punts that are fair catches. He makes like one tackle a game. $2.5 million, number one contract that I hate the most, Matthew Slater.
This is a great take. Like, how many practical snaps does Matthew Slater play a week? When I say practical, the touchback out of the back of the end zone doesn't count.
That's a wind sprint.
The punt out of bounds or fair caught doesn't count. All right. Does he play on the field goal or extra point team? Is he on that unit?
Going through the motions on an extra point.
So I don't even know if he's on that side. You know, is he one of the wing guys? I don't even know.
And Jones is forgetting the best part, too, that you mentioned in your tweet. You can't make the Bills punt, so he can't play against them at all.
But I mean, just add it all up. If you take away the touchbacks on the kickoffs, if you take away the downed punts, fair caught punts, I mean, how many punt returns are there a game? Like two or three? And the extra point, I don't, like, how many practical plays does he play a game?
Well, I get it, though, because their special teams were so good last year. It makes sense. You got to bring them back.
It might be less than five. I mean, it might be less than five real snaps a game. So, man, that is, wow. Talk about a premium for freaking the post-game speech or the culture or whatever it is. Wow. Ed, what a waste of money that is. I'm with you, Jones, on that. But the Carson Wentz trade, that's the worst. That's the worst. The Commanders should have been receiving draft picks from the Colts to take on that full contract, not sending trip picks. So that does take the prize. All right, I promise. Back to your phone. You got another one, Greg?
I just want to say I love Dallas unloading Amari Cooper, who's tremendously overrated by draft and fantasy nerds like Jones. I like the Jaguars signing the linebacker Olakun. I hated the Christian Kirk deal. Terrible. I hated the Patriots not tagging J.C. Jackson and leaving themselves option. And the Steelers getting Mitch Trubisky. Like, good luck with that.
You watch. That's my pick to click this year.
Okay. Right.
Every year now I'm going to throw my weight behind some bum quarterback and see how that goes.
Hoyer a couple years ago. Nice track record.
Here comes the statute of limitations on that big boy. Medium boy. Yeah, long commercial-free segment comes your way next.
If you own a home and are not using the sun to offset your energy bills or provide a backup power source during a blackout, it's time to do what I did and contact Devlin Solar. Devlin Solar is bringing affordable green energy to New England by using the latest solar technology to provide efficient Ascent Energy Solutions. To see if your home qualifies for solar, call 800-818-5641 or visit devlinsolar.com. They put a system in my home and it's great. So do what I did, reduce or eliminate your energy bills and power your home through a blackout with Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. Financing is available through Sunnova. Don't wait. Call 800-818-5641 today.
Love each other.
That's a lie. It's bullcrap.
And the audience loves them.
No, definitely grumpy. I don't care. Well, listen, guess what? You're in New England.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Up.
You know, DJ, it's very interesting to me. The Patriots had multiple conversations with J.C. Jackson once during the season, and that offer was basically a non-starter. And then again, right around the combine, and, you know, there's some talk about the offer being as upwards of $17 million a year. But when I talked to a source last night, I said, were the Patriots ever really close to what the Chargers offered and ever close to bringing J.C. back? And I was told, not really. So the Patriots now look at a situation where, well, they don't have a number one corner. Jalen Mills was their opposite corner last year. They had to play more zone because of it. And Mills was solid for them last season. But again, they tended to be a in-your-face physical man-to-man football team. And when you look at the names out there, there aren't too many of them. In fact, you start looking at it and you say there's a lot of cast-offs and some older guys. Guys like Joe Hayden, Jackrabbit Jenkins, who just got released a short time ago, who's 34. You know, Joe Hayden is 32 going on 33. Bradley Roby's another guy that you look at. Steven Nelson. So they're going to have to really figure out a way to piece this together. I guess the one thing I would say about Bill Belichick is, look, if they have personnel that says they should play more zone, they'll play more zone. If they have personnel that says we can get in your face and play man-to-man, we'll play man-to-man. I think it's also interesting right now that the Patriots have done a lot of things to bring back their own guys. And a lot of their old guys are coming back. Matthew Slater, Devin McCourty, on and on that list goes. Nick Folk. Those have been their big signings after spending a zillion dollars thereabouts in free agency a year ago.
Mike Giardi, NFL Network with the recap. I tell you, I don't like any of it. The only thing I sort of like is James White. I like that piece for Mac Jones. But even that, how old is he? What has he got left? How durable is he going to be? That's your best option as a third down back?
Well, again, what about J.J. Taylor? I mean, here's a young guy who's quicker, who makes plays. Play the young kid. I mean, I would love... At least James White isn't guaranteed very much. It shows that the Patriots are like, all right, fine, we want you back, but we got to see what the hip is. If he's not effective, if he doesn't come back, then you just let him go. But why not go in with, hey, let's go with the approach of young legs. Yeah, he fumbled last year in a big spot. Well, give the kid a chance. Don't bury him. And let's see if the Patriots, he is a playmaker. Put him on the field. Put more playmakers on the field.
All right.
James White is 30, by the way, which is kind of young for them. So that's shaving a few years off the average age.
Meanwhile, there's hardly a thing that I like that they've done. And so what? They're going to have a lot of zone corners so they can play a lot of zone. Good luck against these quarterbacks in the AFC.
Well, that's the thing, Mike. If they go like this and they do want to play zone, then Bill has to go get another dynamic pass rusher. They have to. Yeah. Yes, I love Josh Uche, and I think, you know, Ronnie Perkins has a chance. But you better affect the quarterback more than you did last year, or you're going to get picked apart, which is what happened at the end of last year.
Apart. Okay, back to the calls with the big boy here. Chet in Somerville. Go ahead, Chet.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of surprising Belichick doesn't have a chance to develop the younger players since the first 4 weeks of the year don't matter. But
good one. You a comedian in your part-time job?
I wish.
Shut up, Jones.
I've been watching a lot of Bill Burr. But I don't know why Patriots fans aren't surprised. Are very surprised with this. You know, he won't even name coordinators. You know, he doesn't want to pay a big-time quarterback. He yangs while everyone else yangs. I mean, it's just what they do.
This is a big yang, no doubt about it. Big, giant yang in your face if you're a Patriots fan. Joe in Pittsfield. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I think I got a really serious problem about Belichick not playing younger guys, not getting quicker, and stuff like that. I really don't know what's going on. But bringing back guys the same age and older – and they got to do something. You got to give these guys a chance, don't you?
So, Greg, what is it about? I mean, Uche Jennings, is that a them problem or a Bill problem? I mean, can those guys play?
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, Josh Uche was one of them. You know, I wasn't the only writer out there. We were all writing up Josh Uche last year. And here's the other thing. all right, maybe Chase Winovich doesn't work on the edge in this scheme. Most of us could tell that very early on. How about moving him to linebacker and giving that a look? You know, we've seen Uche do that a little bit, but why not? You have a guy. What can, again, we always heard Belichick's the master of, well, what does this guy do well? Don't tell me what he can't do. Well, tell me what Chase Winovich does well. He runs around and makes plays, okay? And his effort is awesome. He goes sideline to sideline. How about you stand him up one training camp practice to see what that looks like? Maybe develop him there. You know, but these guys, these kids, they need to play. But we're at the point now, Mike, if they, again, if they don't do anything more or they don't really, you know, add a dynamic guy, we're now in the point where Belichick is like, he reminds me of George Costanza from that Seinfeld episode, like draped in velvet. He just wants to be comfortable. You know, it's like he wants to, you know, be Hugh Hefner and wear, you know, a robe and slippers and walk around the place. A few years ago was Chill Bill with the practices, and now their training camps are country clubs.
So this makes now more sense. Because, like, he's not completely adverse to playing young players. Look how many snaps Barmore got last year. It's guys that need a little bit of coaching. He just is like, meh. Like, I'm not going to put in that kind of effort. Because he doesn't think that they're worth it, or what? They talk back? Like, they make too many mistakes?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think, you know, in certain spots, like on the edge, Bill puts setting the edge first. Well, how about, why don't you draft guys that you know can set the edge? You know, instead of, all right, well, we'll coach him up. I thought they didn't do that. I thought Bill doesn't want to hear from his scouts, well, if we coach him up, if we develop him, then they'll be okay. They just have to find a better way. But I don't think Bill's interested in that. Again, I think he wants to be comfortable with the coaching staff, comfortable with macro directing personnel where Ziegler's not, you know, he would have fought back against Bill, comfortable with, you know, the players that are 35 years old and have been around. Like, it's more and more comfort in what we've seen so far from the Patriots.
And this 2019 draft, I got an email from our buddy Boston Sports Inf. Okay, John. Who, again, Boston Sports Inf is just stats, facts, research, you know.
Doesn't get into the take game.
He's not in the, he is not a member of the Industrial Take Society. He just gives stats and facts. And, you know, if we're going off on a rant, he may send us some stats that sort of back up a specific argument or not. But he generally stays out of the take game. He sent me a graph today, a graph of the 2019 draft. With the players, where they were picked, and then the result of each player. You want to hear what Boston Sports Inf, again, just the facts, wrote? First round, N'Keal Harry, about to be traded or given away. Second round, Juwan Williams, bust. Third round, Chase Winovich, just traded for roster fodder. Third round, Damien Harris, solid. Third round, Yoni Kajus, can't get on the field. Fourth round, Halti Froholt, can't get on the field.
He's gone.
Yeah, fourth round, Jared Stidham, can't get on the field. Fifth round, Byron Cowart, never noticed him. Fifth round pick, Jake Bailey, regressing. Seventh round pick, Ken Webster, long gone. So that, you know, even Boston Sports Inf can't help but doing a little Jones segment right there. That draft absolutely smelled. We continue with the reaction, what the Patriots have done or not done. I got to get Greg Bedard's thoughts on the Tom Brady situation as well. We'll do that after the very latest here in the update with Adam Jones. No commercials, and we're right back.
Hi, this is William Cassotis, CEO of Lazy River Products, Massachusetts' premier fully integrated cannabis retailer and manufacturer in Dracut. Easily accessible off of Route 93, 495, and Route 3. We carry only the highest quality cannabis products available today, from the perfect flower to the tastiest edibles, vapes, and other cannabis concentrates. Lazy River Products has it all. Whether you be a seasoned cannabis connoisseur or someone who is just coming back into the market, our knowledgeable staff will help find the right product for you. True craft quality cannabis has finally arrived in Massachusetts. Visit LazyRiverProducts.com, and as always, our pricing includes the tax.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. For use only by adults 21 years of age or older. Keep out of reach of children. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana used during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It's against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact the Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts. Massachusetts State License Number MR282562.